producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
No more mystery. Biden declares he's out. Hey, everybody. Kate Delaney. America Tonight. Were you worried? Were you sweating it out? Was Biden your choice? I think most of the people in this audience could care less. However, it was an interesting storyline. I'll tell you one person who's breathing a little bit easier, Hillary Clinton and all of her minions, because he would have thrown a monkey wrench somewhat into the Democratic race. She's got to focus Thursday on the whole Benghazi panel, which is happening. Here's the question I want to know. What would you ask Hillary Clinton? Keep it nice. If you had a chance to throw a question the way of the former Secretary of State about the Benghazi attacks in 2012. It is all about performance. If she performs well, she could convince those that are skeptical that it's time to move on from it, because this has dogged her entire campaign somewhat. But if there's more questions than answers, it could help bury her, I think, along the way. You know, this has been a 13-month run. Yeah. And then we could include the years that the Clintons thought about this happening. It's been a forever thing. There's no doubt it was horrible what happened to Ambassador Chris Stevens and the three others that were with him. He tried to find shelter in a safe room in the compound. His lifeless body was located at a local hospital that night, and it's the first killing of a U.S. ambassador since 1979, and this was a guy who really was that public servant guy. And the people in Libya loved, I mean, not the bad guys, the people in Libya that wanted help loved this ambassador. He devoted his life to really, truly being that public servant guy. So I think it's a horrific thing that happened. And subsequently, all the bizarre details about the attacks and the way the ball was dropped and a whole bunch of other holes in the stories really started this crash course she's had with the whole Benghazi thing. I mean, Congress, we're going to spent your money and my money, because they did 7 investigations into the attack. 7. Now the board, the Accountability Review Board, did not fault the State Department for the terror attacks, but said there were systematic failures and leadership and management deficiencies at senior levels that resulted in inadequate security posture. Listen, this ambassador was asking, this is for help, months and months and months, twice before this had happened, that this is not a safe situation, and they didn't get that help. I mean, you know how much it's cost us, so you know? It's cost us $5 million. What would be a satisfactory question to have answered? And, of course, Kevin McCarthy, the congressman from California, may have chipped away at what ever advantage the Republicans would have in this, because let's figure this out. It doesn't take a genius to know everything is political, right? And it was easy for the Democrats to jump on McCarthy's remarks. And another Republican congressman, Richard Hanna, who said the committee was designed to go after Clinton, as evidence the panel is trying to sabotage her presidential bid. So that was brutal. The committee chair, Trey Gowdy, did everything he could in his power to shut everyone up and basically told Republicans those words, shut up. And he said they don't know the details of the investigation. They don't know. They're just saying that. Now, you got to assume one of the questions, and the question I want to know is, who did she contact the night of the attack? How did they act? What happened? Who was the call? Who was that call when all of this unfolded? Senator Dianne Feinstein, who chaired the Senate Intelligence Committee, when they did their bipartisan review of the situation, said that the 16-month investigation found no wrongdoing by Clinton. She said today, "I'm appalled, appalled that the House Republicans are wasting time and your money, taxpayer money, in an effort to disparage Secretary Clinton." Your question for Clinton, 855-266-5283, 855-266-KATE. Now's your time to chime in and step up to the plate. Speaking of stepping up to the plate, I have to say this in the beginning of the show. Woohoo! Hats off to the amazing Mets, a team that I covered the last time they went to the World Series in 2000. In fact, that's when I went to New York. And the Mets just owned the Cubs. Sorry for all my Cub friends out there, but the Mets owned the Cubs because of such great pitching. The Cubs had a great season, and congrats to them on the season, but the Mets are going to the World Series. What's really crazy is the MVP, Daniel Murphy, hit yet another home run. I mean, this guy is doing nothing but hitting long balls. A two-run homer in the eighth inning of this sweep, this final game four. So that's six home runs. It is a record. Six straight postseason games with a home run. That is incredible. No doubt he was going to be named the National League Championship Series MVP. Absolutely incredible. Let's go to Dan in Texas right off the bat. Dan, what do you say?
Hello.
Hello.
Okay, did we do nail the score last night?
We did do nail the score last night.
I must have been out in the back getting the steak. I'm sorry I missed it.
You did miss it. I think we did nail the score. Did we do nail the score? I'm confused.
I didn't hear it.
Maybe we didn't. No. We didn't do nail the score because we had some technical things that happened. Yes. So I'm glad you brought that up because thank you for saying that because we're booting it to tonight to the second hour.
I will call in later on.
All right.
But
perfect.
You started with, do I have a question for Hillary? Yes, I do. Why did you let an ambassador be killed and raped and killed and not send troops when you had forces within airshot of them and could wipe them out with one C-40 airplane with a puff of magic dragon? It would have broke their backs right then. It would have stopped it. That 3 o'clock in the morning call that she bragged about in 2008, she got the 3:30 in the morning call, and she wasn't there to take it. She was off, gone somewhere else doing whatever. And Obama, that clown was gone for 7 hours. I think he was with his boyfriend. I think he's gay.
He
lit up the entire White House with red, white, and blue for the gay
factor.
Dan.
I was with you the other part about asking the question to Hillary Clinton.
Let's get back to that. What the hell? Why didn't she send troops? Why didn't she send a contingent?
Well, that's the question.
Protect those people?
The question. Why no troops?
Why did she do the Benghazi talk routine where she said it was a video that
Oh, Dan, we lost you there. Willie Nelson drowned you out. Sorry, Dan. On the road again. Check out Kate on the Road. Go to the middle of the page. Click on it. Make sure you give us your vitals and pass the word. We want to take the show on the road again. Hang with us.
On the road again. Going places.
Earthquake, floods, winter storms, prolonged power outages, or war. Each of us have had that moment when we recognize that we need to be better prepared. We typically do the same thing. We start with food storage, then we address the need for water. But have you considered heat storage? I'm talking about staying warm in the cold. Here are some things for you to consider. How will I keep my family warm? The standard answers are firewood, coal, or propane. But the problem with that, if you need to be on the move, is you can't take it with you. Another concern, there may come a time when you need to stay warm without smoke, like in times of war. There may even come a time when you can't burn fuel. The answers may be simpler and less costly than you think. For these answers, go to FortressClothing.com. Again, FortressClothing.com has the answers to your heat storage dilemma. Don't get stuck in the cold. FortressClothing.com. You'll never be cold again.
A lot of people's lives and bodies are out of balance. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops optimize pH level and get rid of harmful waste and acid. Just a few drops in water restores vibrance and energy and gets you back in balance. Now order two bottles and get $10 off your order. Sign up for monthly auto shipping and save 25%. Call 800-518-7615 or visit alkavision.com. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at alkavision.com.
With the many stock market ups and downs over these last few weeks, many people are asking themselves, are they doing the right thing? Do they have the right financial plan in place? Here's the real question. You should be asking yourself, do you have the right financial professional in place? Well, my friend Rocky DeFrancisco, attorney and founder of the Wealth Preservation Institute, has authored a new book called Bad Advisors, How to Identify Them and How to Avoid Them. In this book, you'll identify financial planners who are forbidden by their broker-dealers from giving you the best advice. You'll understand why most CPAs, EAs, and accountants don't even provide proactive advice to help you save for your taxes. And, of course, you're going to identify insurance agents who are forbidden from selling you the best products available in the marketplace. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. It's only your retirement dollars. And for a limited time, we're going to give you the free ebook version of this book, Bad Advisors, How to Identify Them, How to Avoid Them. Call right now, 888-772-2929. That's 888-772-2929. Take control of your financial lives today.
There are hundreds of silver products on the market today, but there's nothing like the astonishing health benefits of the multi-patented One Silver Solution. Boost your immune system at a great price with our Silver Solution Liquid, starting at $12.95 a bottle. Now available in regular and extra strength. That's half the price of the leading competitors. Call 844-USILVER for your free catalog, or go to OneSilverSolution.com. OneSilverSolution.com. There is only one Silver Solution.
Welcome to America Tonight. Each and every show, we toss around with our pals from Talk Radio News. Kate Delaney, ATN, here with Luke Vargas. Luke, still, there's a lot of ripples about Canada and Justin Trudeau. Now the conservative government of Stephen Harper bounced, and here you have the liberal government. What can we expect? Already we know this is it for the coalition because Harper made that phone call to Obama, right?
Yeah, I mean, look, so here's the deal about Trudeau saying that the Canadian assistance is going to end in its current form is, look, American mission is changing as well. And what we are hearing from the Canadians, that they're not going to fly their sorties anymore, their bombing runs against the Islamic State, but they are going to help out with humanitarian relief, and they're going to help out with the provision of military aid. Now, I don't know the details of that, but I don't think it's out of the question to just acknowledge here that Trudeau and Obama are sort of ideological equals in a way that Obama and Harper were not, and that this is not a surprise to the White House that this decision was made. It was a campaign promise. They knew that if Trudeau was elected, there would be a policy shift, and I wouldn't say it's out of the question that there was some sort of understanding that the Canadian role would change, but not dissipate ahead of time, and that Canadian assistance with helping airdrop arms to Kurds or other sorts of military supplies isn't actually just as meaningful, if not maybe more effectual, policy move by the Canadians than, you know, having occasional bombing runs against the Islamic State. They're not out of this fight. They're just not dropping bombs directly anymore.
Yeah, and one of the other things that came up was the Keystone Pipeline, and Harper's saying that, well, it's not a one-issue thing. I mean, he's obviously wants to see the pipeline and the relationship with the United States continue and have that pipeline go through, but he's already said, well, that's, you know, that's okay. There's other things. So you're right. There seems to be a lot of playing nice already with the U.S., so this is going to be a different relationship just based even on that.
Yeah, look, people forget Canada is the largest trading partner of the United States. We spend so much time thinking about China, but really the U.S.-Canadian business relationship is an important one. I'm not surprised that Trudeau isn't being a little bit conciliatory. And look, he came into office using a different sort of national Canadian coalition than many past prime ministers. The country used to be very bifurcated, pretty static demographics for the Francophone East and sort of urban areas compared to the more rural West, relying much more on the energy issues. Harper was from Alberta, sort of from the tar sands area, but it was an area that Trudeau campaigned in quite a lot. So he is cognizant that you can't just throw out half of the electorate with a sort of rash policy decision. I'll say that there are major changes, much more rapid, happening in the foreign policy sphere, at least vis-a-vis the United Nations. We're already hearing from negotiators in Bonn, Germany, working on this week's crafting of the Paris Climate Treaty, that the Canadian delegation is going to be shaken up, that Canada is withdrawing its national emissions pledge that it had submitted under the Harper government, and is going to replace it in short order with something much more robust. So amazing to see how quickly this government is getting to work in certain areas. And I think given the reputation of the Harper government as being such a pariah in a world of climate politics, that they're very sensitive to try and say, hey, Canada cares about climate change and global warming. We're going to put a more robust emissions pledge out there, and we're going to be constructive when it comes to the Paris talks instead of being sort of an obstacle.
Yeah, and we're, you know, the countdown is certainly on for that United Nations climate change conference. And as we get closer to Paris, what's leading up now as we get week and week closer to, you know, that actual day?
Well, we've heard that 14 new pages have been inserted into this 20-odd page agreement. I listened to a press conference yesterday with some folks who are out in Bonn, and they seem to be rather optimistic about it, that these aren't 14 pages that are going to water this down, but things that include various elements of climate finance, having the developed world help pay for certain types of technology transfer. I really need to spend some extra time this weekend digging into whatever new draft we've got, but at this point, it's just sort of hearing it secondhand. I am sort of heartened to see some talk by Bernie Sanders and now Martin O'Malley jumping on, calling this is a very domestic issue, but one that I think has implications for sort of the role of big business in climate change, which is that Bernie Sanders calling for an investigation into ExxonMobil, obviously a corporation that had for a long time been sort of privately acknowledging the fact that there were a lot of fossil fuels were going to have to stay in the ground, but then saying something quite different to their investors, basically sort of denying that they were too concerned about climate change. Bernie Sanders calling for a criminal investigation here. So I'm glad to see corporations having their feet held to the fire a little bit, especially when it seems like they've been sort of duplicitous when it comes down to acknowledging climate change and the role they need to play in it. So an interesting further sort of discrediting of certain corporate statements as we head towards what's unfortunately, I think, going to be a very corporate climate meeting in December.
Yeah. What's the take on the, of course, one of the big stories is Assad making his first foreign trip, I guess I'll call it,
to
Moscow and Putin. What do you make of that?
Look, I'm not surprised he's thanking Vladimir Putin. Those Russian airstrikes have really changed the picture in Syria, not in a meaningful way from a U.S. perspective, because the Islamic State is no weaker now than it was a month ago. But the reality is that what I have and many others call these sort of unicorn groups in Syria, these incredibly rare rebel forces that sort of tick off all the boxes that the U.S. had been interested in. You know, first they're filled with folks from the Syrian military who are experienced, who command the respect of other fighters. They're secular, too. And three, they're pledging to defeat the Islamic State above all else. Well, the Russians have been brutally effective in knocking out these groups. They knew who we were supporting covertly through CIA and other training programs, and they exploited that. They took a lot of these groups and their leaders out. That really works to the advantage of Assad because it makes Syria even more black and white than it was. There's just not really much of a case to be made that, hey, I'm going to Syria to fight against the Assad government and fight for some sort of secular, moderate opposition. The Russian airstrikes have really just eliminated that possibility, and so I'm sure Assad is very grateful for that. And not surprisingly, we're hearing now that the Iraqi government is going to be calling for assistance from Vladimir Putin, and one can sort of understand this as well, that American foreign support in these countries has really just had so many different, clauses attached to it. You know, we will help the Iraqi government out, we'll help the Kurds, but we won't give them independence. We'll help in Syria, but we don't want to fight Assad or support anyone who's fighting Assad. That's a lot of strings to attach. And the Iraqi government wants an assault on Mosul. We were told that would happen in the spring. It never happened. There's no talk of it now. We were told there'd be an all-out U.S.-assisted assault on Ramadi. That's not really coming to fruition either. And so the frustration of the Iraqi government saying, God, you know, you're saying you're helping us militarily, but where is our military support? The pledge of sort of, hey, call in some Russian airstrikes, you'll start to see results pretty quickly, seems more and more appealing. I'm not surprised to see the Iraqis issuing this call today.
Yeah, we have a couple minutes left. UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon making that trip to the Middle East. What's the goal of the trip?
Well, look, tensions in Israel are running really high. We're hearing a bid that probably would have even increased tensions. This was a UNESCO resolution that would have recognized the Wailing Wall as a Muslim heritage site, totally ignoring any of the importance of sites within Old City Jerusalem within Jewish history. It's likely going to be withdrawn. The UN was furious on Tuesday, basically condemning efforts by six Arab countries to draft this resolution, which I think was just so unbalanced sort of inappropriate in the handling of the Israeli government. So we know Ban Ki-moon heading to Ramallah and to Jerusalem. Interestingly, there was a proposal over the weekend, actually, by the French to send UN peacekeepers to guard the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Old City Jerusalem. The Israelis said they didn't want that, but I'm sure that will still come up. It'll be interesting to see what comes of these meetings, and the tensions really do need to be lowered, and maybe Ban Ki-moon can play a part of that.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out. All right, Luke Vargas, as always, thanks so much.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, so in continuing that quickly here, Ban Ki-moon was in Jerusalem on Tuesday, and as you know, we were talking about there with Luke, there's a lot of tensions, obviously, on what's happening between Israel and the Israelis and the Palestinians, so he's trying to be sort of a bridge in that what's been a diplomatic nightmare, you know, without a doubt. And he is the top dude at the United Nations, but that doesn't mean that he's going to be able to soothe over the tensions that have been simmering for decades. Other people have stepped in and have tried to do that, and we can see that. I mean, you know, it's already, you can see the fact that what he was trying to do. You have a joint news conference, and you have Benjamin Netanyahu accusing the Palestinian Authority president, Abbas, of stoking the fears that Israel threatens the holy site in Jerusalem, the mosque there. So I don't think this is any easy feat. Stay with us. Much more coming your way next on America Tonight.
So you've got to take a state construction license exam or certification. Can't decide on what books or what chapters to study? Discover right now how you can eliminate unnecessary books and wasted study time. At contractorexam.com, our study materials zero in on state-required test topics in an effective, multiple-choice format. So whether you're a plumber, electrician, general contractor, or other construction-related trade, contractorexam.com will help get you prepared. Visit us at www.contractorexam.com today.
My dad was 59 when he collapsed from a heart attack late last year. Just this past August was when we spread his ashes on the St. Croix River. I loved my dad, but boy was he stubborn. He hadn't been to the doctor in over 25 years. His excuse? He simply couldn't afford it. He wasn't a rich man by any means. At less than $107 per month, LibertyOnCall.org would have been the perfect alternative for my father. Don't wait. Go to LibertyOnCall.org right now. For not just your sake, but for the sake of your loved ones. Again, that's LibertyOnCall.org.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
As if chlorine in our water weren't bad enough, now they're adding ammonia?
It's true. Some municipalities are now adding ammonia plus chlorine to your water supply. It's a disinfectant called chloramine. But with a trusted Big Berkey water filter, you can keep chloramine out of your water. New NSF EPA certified lab tests show EPA Berkey water filters remove chloramines, pharmaceuticals, BPA, pesticides, bacteria and viruses, all forms of fluoride, and much more. Big Berkey water filters are the original and most trusted on the market. The gold standard in water purification. And our filters last for years at less than 2 cents per gallon. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get your Big Berkey today. Call 1-877-99-BERKEY or click BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Do you lay awake at night and worry about the health and safety of you and your loved ones? Do you wonder what would happen if you weren't able to get to a hospital or doctor? How can you keep your family safe against the deadly pathogens that are beginning to emerge in the world today? Give yourself peace of mind with Supernatural Silver. Supernatural Silver is turning heads around the world as a new weapon in the fight against bacteria, viruses, and fungus. Supernatural Silver can be taken internally or used topically to help the body's own immune system fight off disease much more effectively. Supernatural Silver has been tested at independent universities and laboratories around the world and has been proven to be safe and highly effective against some of the planet's deadliest pathogens. There is no better product to have in your home for daily use or emergency preparedness. Go to supernaturalsilver.com, use the code SILVER2015 for 20% off, and give yourself and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
My name is Dell, and I live in El Cajon, California. I was concerned about my cholesterol readings because I knew that high cholesterol is related to clogging of the arteries and increases the risk for heart attack and stroke. One day, I heard an ad for Heart and Body Extract, and I was skeptical, but I decided to give it a try. Man, the numbers don't lie.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at HBExtract.com.
Tonight, one of my favorite guests, Michael Daugherty, is with us. You know him. He's a senior writer for Cyber Defense Magazine, and his resume is very, very long. And he also wrote a book that is, and it's just excellent. It's mind-blowing, actually, when you read it. It's The Devil Inside the Beltway, The Shocking Exposé of the U.S. Government Surveillance and Overreach into Cybersecurity, Medicine, and Small Business. He's scaring people one at a time. He's waking them up, really, is what he's doing. Hey, Michael, you and I were talking off the air, and you are speaking at a couple of different places. And when you speak at college campuses, if you speak at, wherever it happens to be, what's the reaction you get from the younger students in the audience?
You know, yesterday, it was interesting because I was in Nebraska yesterday, and I have to say they were almost terrified in the silence. I mean, I just got back from Australia about a month ago, and I spoke down there, and it was a more technological corporate audience, and they were very engaged. But younger people tend to be stunned. And I actually kind of feel bad for them because it's scary. Now, it's a compliment in the sense that means that they believe me, but it's a bit overwhelming, and that's unfortunate. They don't really shoot the messenger, but it is overwhelming, and the younger crowd was almost speechless, and that's unfortunate. But they believe it.
Oh, yeah, there's the key thing. And which means that they'll maybe be more watchful, and that's part of what it takes, is look at who you're voting for. You and I have talked about this. Do what you can to rattle some cages. Don't just sit on the sidelines, right?
Right, and the other thing is, you know, I mean, I'm in my 50s, and when I was in their age and younger, I had pretty good education in government. And even though I also tell everyone that we haven't been told the true structure of administrative government in a century, and we're all ignorant of that. But these younger people don't even really understand the intentions of the founding fathers. So I've got about 5 or 6 slides in every talk where I give people very quick separation of powers 101 and explain why the legislative branch was snapped in two, so they understand it's supposed to be difficult, that Congress is supposed to be messy. And I see they don't have that anymore. I mean, the schools have really pulled back on educating about American history. And so it leaves these people sitting ducks, and it allows bad government actors to go farther down the road before they're caught. And that's a very dangerous thing. And because, you know, it's better to be proactive and not be fooled so later down the road. And I think that's what we're going through with a lot of these younger generations.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you. And speaking of younger generation, we saw that the head of the CIA, John Brennan, was hacked with his crazy AOL account, and now more stories are coming out. And the person who hacked his account told about the way that he went through and did it, posing as somebody who worked for Verizon, and he wasn't even 20 years old. What do you make of that?
It's classic, because I think, again, most lay people think that all this hacking is some high-end, super sophisticated, and almost all these high-end hacks are not some advanced technological secret weapon. It's social engineering, which is another more fancy word of blind to other people, making people trip up, because humans make mistakes and computers don't. Pretty much. And so if you're just relentless in your attempt, eventually you're going to get a human error. This is how hackers got in the State Department, how they got in the White House, and this is how this guy did it. I mean, yeah, he had AOL, and AOL's pretty much secure, but not when you've got someone to cough up the password, it's not. And so this is as much an indictment of the CIA and the head of the CIA and him having that on personal emails. It is AOL and Comcast, and you know, someone that's patient and has a whole lot of time on their hands and is just joking around, although I'm sure in 10 years this kid's going to look back realizing how stupid he was, can do this, and that's the terrifying part. And, you know, it's another – the Obama administration is like kind of wrote the book on keeping your information secret from prying eyes like Congress and the Justice Department by having all these people in these agencies use their private email, and that's coming back to haunt them, because this is what can happen. And so it's like the 20th century political tricks are running in the 21st century technological reality.
I love that. I mean, the shocking part, too, is this is the head of the CIA. What is he doing with this AOL account and then forwarding the emails that he shouldn't be forwarding to the account?
It is, you know, the ignorance of the generation. It is the arrogance of the political class. It is the self-righteousness of the government. I mean, in the U.S. economy, the most cyber insecure aspect, part of it, is the government sector. And these are the people that are wasting their time using attack everyone else for making a mistake to flex their muscles instead of working collaboratively. And their hypocrisy is for all the world to see. And it's also wasting time.
Yes.
Because they need to be defending everybody else instead of doing this. It's really, it's tragic, because, you know, this is just another example of our vulnerability. And the OPM breach still is not that sexy of a headline, but one of the most damaging breaches this country's ever going to see, because 5.6 million fingerprints are out there and all the background check records. And you wonder why suddenly drones and planes look so much like ours from China in such a short amount of time, and Putin's taking over the Middle East. Well, you know, we kind of just handed the Human Resources Department to everybody by our incredible incompetence in keeping things safe. Now, the whole world is that way, but you can't have a government wasting its time finger-pointing at everybody else. They have to heal by self first and help everybody else.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think that in looking at this and seeing what we're seeing, like you say, the OPM breach was just so outrageous, is the tendency then, this is the government saying, well, we got to throw more bodies at this? I mean, what do they have to do? What does it take to shake them up to say, you can't keep doing these same things? And I guarantee it's going to be something to do with hiring certain people.
Well, that's the problem is it's going to be, I'm going to sound like it's, I mean, you know, the government's never made a product that created a market, okay? So the government's like after the fact. You know, they might run wars, but they don't make planes and bombs. Then cyber war, you've got to have the people that invented the internet and the software and all the issues engaged. And that's Silicon Valley and all the hotbeds of Boston and D.C. And, you know, where all the high-tech centers are. You need to enable, engage, and unleash them, and you have to work with them. And unfortunately, with things like Snowden and the attitude of the government, that very crowd that works at that level really can't stand the government, because nothing bothers a technologist more than a lawyer that thinks he knows everything and has a lot of power and knows nothing. That drives people crazy. And that's the behavior of the government that has put a wedge between a lot of these people. So a lot of people don't want to work with the government. They can make tons more outside, and they consider it, you know, just the whole culture is really, you know, obnoxious to them. There's no accountability. They see just eye-rolling, stupid behavior. That all has to stop. And I would say, I think the regulatory sides that are more enforcement of, like the NSA, CIA, FBI, they understand that you have to work together. I know people are going to laugh at that about the NSA, but compared to the FTC or the FCC or the SEC or the IRS, those are the lawyers that run around flexing muscles, thinking that do it because I say so will work in this area. And it won't. It's like, I tell you, it's like making cancer illegal. It just sounds wonderful, but it's not going to work. These people shall fold themselves. They think that it's going to solve the problem. In the meantime, this still goes on. We have got to get rid of these people that just love the government beyond anything. They just, we pay the price in the face of reality.
Yeah, and saying we pay the price, we do pay the ultimate price because we are the taxpayers. And as you said, it's this time conundrum, wasting so much time on the same thing. And I guarantee we'll be back here again talking about some other breach that's just ridiculous. And how could it happen?
Yeah, well, it took them 20 years to build this vulnerability. I mean, they had a long time to know this was coming. But when you have a huge bureaucracy in government or corporation or anything where there's no accountability, they have monopoly power, you have a culture of, everyone's out for themselves. And no one's lost their job. I mean, how many jobs were lost over the OPM breach? One. Only because it got to be, because there had to be some political theater going on. You know, I don't see, you know, it's a tough situation. And I still think the solution will come from Silicon Valley, because the money's rushing in now. Not because of government, but because CEOs are getting fired, boards are getting sued, and now everyone cares about cybersecurity because they don't want to get nailed or lose their careers. And, you know, there are 165 startups at RSA earlier this year on cybersecurity, 45 from Israel. I mean, who knows defense more than Israel? And I mean, I think that's where the solution's going to be. While the government is contemplating its navel, we'll have American enterprise solve the problem. We're just way behind in it. I mean, when this whole thing blew up 15, 20 years ago, no one was paying attention to security. And, you know, hindsight's 2020.
Boy, no kidding. That's the truth. Michael Dougherty, always a pleasure. Continued success on this road trip you're having.
Thank you. Should be a good time this week.
Awesome. Thanks, Michael.
All right, take care.
Anyone who will come around, boasting and bragging, of his ability.
My name is Bill Bonner, and I'm the president
of the largest private news and research network in the world. And I paid for this airtime because I have an important message to the American people. There's a change coming that the government isn't telling you about. This change has deep implications for life in America. From where you shop, to the doctors you visit, and the family you want to protect. Look, I've made predictions like this before. Thing is, I was right then, too. A few years ago, I warned that housing prices would collapse. They did. Before that, I warned that dot-com companies would crash. They did. Those who listened had a chance to save themselves. But this has nothing to do with the stock market. This will affect us all.
You can watch the video for free right now by going to disappearingwealth.com. Again, that's disappearingwealth.com.
Hi, I'm Rick Ossick with Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? And that's why we support the March of Dimes in the fight against premature birth. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment programs, and outreach to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Learn how you can help save babies' lives at marchofdimes.org.
Thousands of people seeking home security get ripped off every day, and the home security industry wants you to believe that's your only option. They've got hordes of salesmen out there trying to scare you into signing one of their long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks month after month with no way out. It's robbery by contract, and it can cost you thousands. But there's a better way to protect your home. Simply Safe Home Security. Simply Safe has no contracts. None. You'll get award-winning 24/7 protection. Security professionals watching over your home, ready to instantly send police to the rescue for just $14.99 per month. That's less than half what most companies charge. Protect your home the smart way. Visit SimplySafeDefense.com today for an exclusive 10% offer and get a free keychain remote worth $25. Only when you go to SimplySafeDefense.com. SimplySafeDefense.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
America tonight with a big juicy reminder thanks to our pal Dan in Texas. Yes, indeed, we did do a push this week. It's very unusual. So we did do a push on our Nail the Score segment. For those of you who are upset, where's Nail the Score? Nail the Score will come up in our next hour in the final segment. Da-da-da, just like that. It's coming up, so don't you worry. I promise you we will get it in, okay? Now it's time, though, for a really fun segment that we do here on ATN called Fruits and Nuts, Shred It, and Bingo.
Bingo!
Bingo! Nathan Reeder, how are you?
Hey, I'm good. How about you, Nate?
I'm good, absolutely. I had this eye thing happen. Have you ever had your eye feel like someone was poking it?
From the back or from the front?
From the front.
Yeah, just a little bit, but that's
weird.
That is weird. That happened to you, Kate?
Yeah, that happened to me, but I cleared the situation up, apparently, because I'm new, Nathan, to this whole contact regime, because I had Wonder Woman vision, and suddenly, poof! poof, there it's not.
Well, contacts, yes. Oh, my goodness. The hours and hours of, like irritated red eyes.
Yes, and sticking your finger in your eye. I know many of you are laughing out loud, but when I went to the doctor just to get the glasses, and my nephew told me, oh, you look great with glasses. The doctor, I said to the doctor, forget it. I don't even want these contacts because I was so, I couldn't do it. I couldn't put the contact in my eye. But finally, I've learned how to do it.
Yep. It's not until you're out in the nowhere lands and you definitely don't have saline solution and your contact fell out, you gotta search for it and you put it in your mouth before you put it back in your eyeball.
No. I have never done that at this point. So, here's an interesting one for you. Maybe a little bit of a curveball. Star Wars has already exploded. They announced it the other day in the middle of football, in the middle of Monday Night Football, and sold a whole bunch of tickets already. The movie's in December, so that was smart marketing. But here's the deal. I guess now they have color charts that they put out because they're afraid people don't understand what the lightsaber colors are, and they've kind of changed the lightsaber colors up. How do you change the lightsaber colors up? I don't know how you mess with that. But just so you know, and I'm wondering what you think, green, so the green color, the typical characters there is who uses it is the Jedi Consulars. They prefer negotiation and meditation to combat, so that's why they use the green color. Then there is the pink color, and the Dark Jedi use these sabers. They're powered by synthetic and crystals. So we're talking about like Darth Vader, that kind of thing.
Sith, baby. The Sith.
Yeah. The Sith. Yeah, exactly, Sith. Then they have sort of a bluish one, and the Jedi Guardians fight for the light side, and they're skilled lightsaber warriors, so Obi-Wan Kenobi would be, like, using the blue. Then you have sort of a purple. It is purple, and that one is the Jedi who use both light and dark side techniques. The purple color is interpreted as a mix of blue, which is good, and red, which is evil. So that's like Mace Windu. Do you know who Mace Windu is? Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, so you get this whole thing. And then they added...
I played some of the video games, and they help elucidate a little bit more. The purple one sounds like it's kind of an added thing, the whole idea of, well, they're both good and bad guys.
Yeah,
they I thought the purple was the Consulars before, and that green was... the green was also normal Jedis, but not the Consulars. But blue was the Guardians or the Soldiers or something like that.
Yeah, so what do you think? Fruits and nuts, shred it, or bingo?
I like Star Wars, but shred that stuff.
Whatever. Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's marketing hype.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's give you another one. I think it's the same thing. I completely agree to this. How about this? You're going to love this. And so I'm just kind of sticking with the movie thing here for a second. Back to the Future. Everybody's talking about Back to the Future and what was predicted in Back to the Future and what's really happened. And so now here we are. The day has arrived when we're talking about, oh, yeah, Back to the Future. And saying that Back to the Future 2 actually predicted Donald Trump's presidential campaign. If you go to that movie, screenwriter Bob Gale said that Marty McFly's arch nemesis, the wealthy villain Biff Tannen, who turns his fortunes, among them a casino, into a quest for political power, was based on the Donalds.
Who said this?
The guy who wrote, the guy who put together Back to the Future 2.
Well, my goodness.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to give him credit. He kind of predicted it.
Okay, I won't shred it.
I'm saying bingo a little bit.
Yeah, just a little bingo. No, okay, it's an okay bingo. I mean, it was a Back to the Future movie, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, how about this one? I know you probably have seen these cars. You know, these they call them the autonomous cars, where the car can go, has a life of its own, and can travel in many different directions. It's a self-driving car, in other words. So they're testing these cars, and the self-driving car just drove itself, made a 1,500-mile Mexican road trip. So a University of Nevada, Reno researcher said that he completed that road trip across Mexico behind the wheel of the autonomous car. That is a huge milestone. So it just drove itself. Robotics.
I'm going right away with bingo on this. It is.
Google has autonomous cars. They're working on theirs, too.
Yeah.
Yep. Wow. Would you get an autonomous car? You could just sit there and it just drives you.
Yeah, I won't have any choice eventually. Well, my kids won't. My great grandkids won't.
I think great grandkids. I don't know that because I don't know that it'd be available that quickly. No. Yeah, I don't think so. But it is kind of wild. I mean,
where's my hoverboard? Back to the Future.
Oh, I know. That's what I want. A hoverboard. That would be very, very cool. All right, how about this? This is sad, so I'm taking you in a much different direction. But for decades, they say these items sat hidden in the shadows and they were in foliage. But a recent hike through the forest outside of a Nazi concentration camp in Poland revealed this disturbing, actually, sight. Previously unknown artifacts, hundreds of pairs of shoes, belts, and strips of prisoners' uniforms, about a foot deep, spread across hundreds, they say, of square miles. And they believe that they belong to the concentration camp prisoners. I mean, all these years and they never found them. They said these employees have been working there for 30 years and nobody ever heard of them. They're just lying in the forest near the museum. About 85,000 of the camp's 110,000 prisoners died in Stutthof, where the Nazis tested making soap from their victims' fat, which is just disgusting and vile. But the whole idea here is asking you, can you imagine that all of that sat back there and they never found it?
Yeah, that's weird. It's not quite shredded. I don't think it's quite bingo because I'm sure there's plenty more stuff.
Well, I think so, too. I think it's just depressing. Although it's good to, I mean, it's a part of history.
Yeah.
It's part of history. And I could see, because I saw the pictures, so everybody knows, listening to me, and it's definitely, I mean, there's just tons of stuff, but it is buried underneath leaves and things. So I think, it got trampled on, whatever, when everything was unfolding and people were being rescued and all that other sort of stuff. So that wasn't a priority in the moment. And then that just went away because there were other things that were found. That's what I think.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, so let's jump back to this. How about this? Chris Rock returns to the Oscars. I met Chris Rock once, and I think he is a very funny man. I think they need to put a lot of comedy into boring award shows. What do you think?
Bingo. Yeah. Go Chris Rock. I like that guy.
I do, too. I like him. He says what he thinks. Woohoo! So we end on a high note. Thanks, Nathan Reeder.
You got it, Kate Delaney.
Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE
Search for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you love.